I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Tims in a Podcast. You join us on Sunday the 18th of December, and I'm sure many of you thought that we chucked the podcast after taking a winter break, but we are back and we are back to discuss another Celtic win. They were triumphant up at Pittodrie yesterday. It was a late goal again, and it came from Captain Callum McGregor on his return to the first team. Danny, it's been quite an eventful winter break. Obviously Celtic went to Australia, we've had four players at the World Cup, and we've even announced a few signings, and Kobayashi and Alistair Johnston. It was all good seeing that all happening, but there was nothing quite like Celtic being back in action and maintaining a 9-point lead at the top of the table. How did you find yesterday?
It was good to get back to club football again. You know, odd break in the season for the World Cup, and World Cup's actually been quite good, and obviously finishes the day. It's been a good watch. I know some of us have enjoyed it, but it was good to get Celtic back, and especially because we were playing really well before the break. We've only lost one game all season in the league and won every other, so I was a wee bit worried that maybe it would dent our momentum, and you know, we're 9 points clear and then we're only 6 points clear by the time we kick off yesterday. I thought the performance was fine. I thought we were in complete control of the game from start to finish. First off, I thought we played really well. I thought we started really well, just never got the early goal. Aberdeen didn't look too interested in attacking us, which was strange considering how they built themselves up, and they built themselves up all season, and the media built them up. But the boy Miowski's meant to be a half-decent striker, so I was surprised to see that they never actually tried to get any service to him. I thought the first half, said that in the chat yesterday, I thought the first half dragged in. I thought it went on for about an hour. And then the second half, I was not panicking at all, and then I looked up and there were 15 minutes to go, and I thought, fuck, we're running out of time. But you always get the sense that a Celtic team will score. Even before, you know, when things weren't going well at the start of this last year, when we lost our first three away games, you always thought we were going to score. And I'm sick of saying it myself, but they never stop. You know, it's became such a cliche, but they're going out there and proving it every week. And McGregor, first game back in what, two, three months, was fucking excellent the whole game. He passed the ball more completed passes than Aberdeen, which was unbelievable. Took the goal, he was the best player in the park, and you know, that's the way. I know we've signed a couple of players to come in and compete after the new year, but having McGregor back is a spark that might just keep us on this one and run for a while yet, because he was brilliant, and he would have taken a one nothing by any means necessary yesterday just to keep our 9-point lead, and that's what we've got. And roll on Wednesday. Now it's a tough couple of games, and culminating. I think we play for another three times before we go to Ibrox. So if we can take 9 points from our next three games, and we'll be going in there in good fettle. But it was good to get Celtic back. And although we had to wait for it, Darren, I thought we were fully like worthy of the win. I didn't think Aberdeen were hard done by at all.
Oh, definitely no. As you said, Aberdeen had no real attacking intent until they went and conceded in the 87th minute. It was, I know they took a lot of pelters for it. I'm in two minds about it, because I think it's just like it's terrible to watch and it's terrible to play against. But if McGregor's shot had went wider and they'd have held out for a 0-0, then I think Goodwin would have been sort of lauded for it. But Celtic just kept doing what they're doing, 80% possession, as you say, Cal McGregor. I think it was 170 passes he had, and I'm sure they said on Sky that it was the most passes by any player in the league this season in the one game. So it just shows that he's obviously back to full fitness. I know he's obviously been training for the last few weeks and played a bit in Australia, but to see him come back in and really be that heartbeat of the team again was outstanding, because I know people had sort of been frustrated with O'Reilly or Hatate, and sometimes Aaron Moy isn't everybody's cup of tea as well. So having Cal McGregor as that sort of a heartbeat in the midfield again, I thought was really important for us. And we obviously had chances. I thought the first half was pretty uneventful, didn't have many clear cut chances, but when he brought Abada on at half time, I thought he looked very lively and was involved a lot more. Obviously Kyogo has a couple of chances. I think on another day puts at least one of them away, and we have a sort of more comfortable afternoon. But like, that's where you look at the Aberdeen game yesterday, the St Johnstone game away, the Dundee United game at home, like, and I know it wasn't as late, but the Hearts game at Tynecastle as well. It's like Celtic just keep going until they get that goal. And a big congratulations to Forrest as well, because I know it was quite a simple assist and a nice wee back heel to McGregor, but that's obviously him reaching 100 assists, and for him to reach 100 assists and 100 goals is just, it deserves another bit of applause. But not delighted, as you say, our lead was cut to 6 when we get into that game, and it would have been, not if we had dropped points yesterday, it would have been easy to say, I'll still get a 6 or 7 point lead. But it just, you don't want to get any sort of light or any sort of hope for that mob, and we deserve to be 9 points clear. We've been by far the best team in the league this season, and it would have been all right. There would have been no disaster and no sort of emergency raised if we had dropped points yesterday, but to maintain that 9 points is obviously massive. As you say, we've got now another three games to go before we have that derby game, and the next two are two that you sort of hope that should be sort of pretty manageable. It's obviously your Livingston and St Johnstone games at home, where you very much expect Celtic to be able to take maximum points there, and then obviously we've got a trip to Easter Road as well. But no, delighted to get the 3 points yesterday, and it's just, I've enjoyed the World Cup, but I'm delighted to have Celtic back. Tony, what did you make it yesterday?
So we dominated from start to finish. Some of the shots from outside the box were pretty pish, but I guess that was just due to the fact that we weren't getting much time. Aberdeen were really camped in, and I can see what you mean. I mean, if Jim Goodwin had told that group of players to come out and attack Celtic, the game would have been done for half time, because they just aren't good enough. But I still thought they didn't make much of a fist at all. I thought it was quite a pathetic performance for them, and they just kind of accepted that they would need to defend to get in. I don't remember them having a chance, I think. They had a shot for a free kick. It was about 30 odd yards out, but apart from that, it was total domination. McGregor came back. You would never think that guy's not played for 2 or 3 months. He was just, I think the last game he played was over in Leipzig, and that was a while ago. Yeah, it was the start of October, so he just came back. He was perfect. A total captain's performance, and in the end, he dragged us to the win. And we see it all the time. It's just the way the Celtic team is with late goals, and it's no fluky or lucky, or it's a total mentality that is ingrained inside every player that is working with Postecoglou. Usually, I'm one for being quite pessimistic, but I was watching. I just had a feeling that we would get there in the end. But I quite enjoyed the game because it was tense and you're thinking, fuck, is the gap going to be cut? And then to get the one in the end, I mean, they are the best ones in the world when you just grind it out. There's nothing beats that feeling when the ball hits the net with 2 or 3 minutes to go and then the full-time whistle when you're over the line. So, as you say, we deserve to be 9 points clear. We've been exceptional domestically, far and away the best team in the country. And we were under a bit of pressure. Obviously, Rangers have since changed managers. They get a win on Thursday. So you don't want to give them any confidence or any hope whatsoever. Much as it's easy to shout and bawl, the league's done. We've seen leagues like this get fucking binned before and the other team winning it. So we need to be bang on it for now until the end of the season to make sure we do retain our league title. So, no, I was quite happy. I don't think there was nobody I thought had a bad performance. I thought Lila Bada was excellent when he came on. I thought he was so direct. I thought he gets in behind. Kyogo should have scored the one that he put in a plate for him. But I see a lot of comments really sticking about into your strikers and people saying stuff like, oh, well, they've proven they're not good enough at Champions League. I think that's really harsh. I mean, the two of them kind of had limited time, 6 games in the Champions League, where they both kind of had a shot at it. Giacomacchi scored one, Kyogo missed a few chances. I'm not really writing them off yet in terms of Champions League, and I'm certainly not writing them off in the domestic league. I think they're both really good players, and it just seems one day quite, but maybe it's just a social media thing to just go right away, oh well, he's missed 2 chances in this game and he's not good enough, or it's not as if he's out. I think somebody said about him not being a young player, but I think you can see Kyogo and Giacomakis are very good players and they will get goals for us between now and the end of the season. So I just feel as though if somebody has a slight off day, it's worth quick to just jump in the back of them. But no, I think they're both fantastic players, big fans of them. Pataudry, I mean, was a difficult place to go last season. There was a 3-2 game, 2-0 up, pegged back to 2-2, and then we get the win, and then the Jota game. So again, it's a late winner. We've dug in and got the result. And I mean, I guess you have to defend Jim Goodwin, I suppose, if his team stink the place out on Tuesday and get an 0-0 draw. He's a genius, isn't he? So, no, best of luck to the sheep for Tuesday. But in terms of us yesterday, I thought it was just right back into the swing of things, dominating the absolute garbage in this league, and I think we'll continue to do so.
And anything else you're right to add about yesterday? As Tony said, the two encounters at Pataudry last season were tight as well, 1-1 goal margin, and it was the same yesterday. Just another big win for Andrew's team.
Aye, exactly that. Look, it's to say they stunk the place out and they set up with really probably no intention to come at Celtic at all. Get a penalty or something, or get a set piece and try and sneak it was really their game plan for the off. It's always difficult to break teams down like that. Now, no matter how big the golf and quality is, it's going to be difficult to break it down. I mean, the World Cup's been a fucking perfect example of it. With how well what teams in Morocco and Croatia, how far they've gone, because just sitting in, making it difficult for our team to score and then hopefully nicking something. So I'm not too concerned about how the performance, I think it says more about is that we kept going and then big players step up in big moments, and that's what McGregor done. Great strike, great goal, and another win on the board. Again, we're more and more players to come back. Obviously, the two new boys take him in, so I think we're in a good place in that sense. But I don't look too much into the performance. I agree with Tony. I think there's a lot of hysteria and stuff that you see in social media, and people are just, I don't know, I think people just like to be controversial and just say shite for the sake of it. I don't really understand why it all happens. Like, we won the game, we could have had more goals. I mean, I think I need to double check it, but as far as I'm aware, I think they had maybe 2 shots. I don't know, didn't actually test Joe Hart at any point, but I think we had about fucking 100 to. Obviously, the quality of them vegetables and stuff wasn't great until the goal went in, but we were creating chances in the best way that we could. So, as I say, I'm no overly concerned about it. I think the main thing is we went to a place that can be tough to get results, as mentioned. There was a 3-2 game. When we went up there, I think it was like 1 each as well, if I'm no mistaken. Maybe 2 years ago or so. No, we don't really go there and win by big margins. I can't remember the last time we went there and won by big margins. So I'm no overly concerned about it. They had their way of playing. We broke it down. We got the win. That's the most important thing. Especially when you come back for a big layoff and a big break. It's almost like, it's just a weird thing, obviously, because the World Cup's in the winter, but it's like almost the start of our season. It's like players have just had a pre-season again. Some players have been away. Some players have been in training. It doesn't surprise me that it'll maybe take a couple of games to get up ahead of steam and start playing to potential again. But the most important thing was getting the win. We were still creating chances. And I'm just happy that football's back. Or the real football's back, should I say. As much as I've enjoyed the World Cup and looking forward to, again, the games we've got through Christmas and New Year. And looking ahead and getting the new players who've already signed into the squad, seeing how they are, and then no doubt, or hopefully rather, we'll sign a couple more and improve the squad.
Aye, definitely. As you say, we've got the two new players already announced. I think Danny Albrecht, you, and last year we went on Hogmanay, we announced the triple signing, Hatate Maeda and Adiguchi. We thought that was early, but Celtic went even earlier this year. We've obviously announced Kobayashi and Johnston, and it's really impressive to see how sort of on the ball Celtic seem to be with our January business. What have you made of it? And I'll focus more on Alistair Johnston. Do you think that sort of points towards possibly Juranovic leaving? I know there's been significant reports linking him with a variety of clubs, and Ange at the AGM sort of alluded to maybe getting Celtic fans having to get a bit more used to losing our best players maybe quicker than they'd hope for.
Yeah, I don't think they would spend. Oh, sorry. I don't think they would spend, what is it, best part of 4.5 million on a player to be Juranovic's backup. Juranovic is a really good World Cup, got a lot of the spotlight in the quarter final against Brazil, which probably couldn't have came at a better time for Celtic. So we'll get a pretty penny for him when he does go. I wonder if he'll go in January or he'll hang on to the summer, but I do think he'll go. Johnson, I mean, I'd imagine we'd looked at him before the World Cup, because he pretty much, before he even kicked a ball, there were rumours that we were signing him. So we must have done our scouting for a while on him. He looks solid defensively, and he looks like he can join in the attack as well, and that's obviously what we need our fullbacks for. Spoke very well with the press conferences he did in that, and hopefully comes in and you don't really miss a beat. That's been a good thing about Ange and his signings so far, is that he brings one in and they don't look out of place. They look as if they've been there for a while, when Hitati and Maeda and all that came in last year. Hitati had a man-of-match performance his first game, Maeda scored, and they just generally started contributing straight away. Whereas, and I'm not digging at other managers, even my successful Celtic managers of the past have had the same problem, but you sign a player and it's like, you need to give him 6 months to settle in. Well, these players seem to settle in pretty quickly for Big Ange, so that's a positive. Hopefully that can continue. Kobayashi, know absolutely nothing about him, but happy to trust the manager given his track record over the last 18 months on signings, especially for Japan, so good luck to them for that. And I'd imagine they'll sign a striker. There's a lot of talk about Jackie Marcus leaving. I thought he gave us a bit of a focal point when he came on yesterday. Completely agree with Tony. I think the criticism of our two strikers is beyond a joke. The two of them are clearly too good for the league. So they didn't hit the ground running in the Champions League. There's every chance they could next year if they're still there. Once they get, another crack at it. But I think if Jackie Marcus was to go, I don't think Jackie Marcus would leave without us signing a replacement. I don't think that's how Ange operates. I think he would rather have three strikers and two of them unhappy than having one and having to play them every week. So I've been impressed. Still 2 weeks to go before we can even see these new players play. I would throw Johnson in at Ibrox straight away, because I thought Ralston had a nightmare yesterday. I know he had a great pass to Abada, which Kyogo should have finished off. It done a great goal, but I just thought Abada, sorry, Ralston, I just thought he toiled the whole game. He looked lost, and he was constantly, for my book, he was 5 yards off out of position at any one time. And I mean, Johnny, that one at the end, when Johnny Hayes skipped by him and he fell on his ass, I just thought, here we go. But we get the win, and I don't want to single out Ralston, but I did think he had a really poor game yesterday. And if it was up to me, I'd sell him and keep the other two right backs. But obviously, that's not going to happen. So I think Juranovic will probably get a pretty penny for him. I think we'll get close to 20 million. I'd be shocked if we don't. Certainly after his performance against Brazil and the write up that he got throughout Europe, you could see like even the Brazilians in South America were raving about him. So you never know. He could have played himself into a better move. He could have played Celtic into a bigger transfer fee, so well done to him. And if he does go, I mean, he's been here 18 months, he only stayed at Ligia for a year. And as you say, Darren, I said you need to get used to it, and Celtic fans are fairly versed in it anyway. But we usually get to keep them for 2 years. But if the manager moves them on after 18 months or so, then we're just going to need to, as long as we sign replacements and as you know, and it looks like that's the way he'll do it, then I think the fans will be on board anyway. I think I pretty much say Postecoglou's got the trust of 99.9% of the fans anyway. I don't know any of us that would question any decisions. So if he feels that the best thing to do is to keep them for 18 months for 2 years and punt them on, then if as long as we're successful, the fans will get behind them.
Aye, definitely. And I know, Tony, you're right at the top of that. If, like you've said often enough on here, you just trust whatever the manager wants. And so maybe not looking at new signings for you, just what did you make of the Celtic players at the World Cup? Obviously, all four of them got game time, all four of them qualified from the groups. Dizemeda obviously scored as well. And Juranovic got his Croatia team won the third place playoff yesterday. What have you made of their campaigns?
I think they can all be extremely proud of themselves. I mean, it's good for us. I mean, Juranovic got an unbelievable kind of write-up against Brazil, who were the heavy, heavy favourites to win the tournament. He was driving at them. He was holding Vinicius Jr. back. So even if Juranovic does leave, I would hope he's one of these players. If he does, we thank him and we just go on with it. And because players can't really seem to leave Celtic with somebody getting after he'd about it. Dembele left, Tierney left. And so I'd like to think this is a case of he leaves and we thank him for a great 18 months and a great shift he's put in. Adam Moyes, Australia, were quite unlucky against the now finalists, Argentina. And obviously Dyson scored against Croatia, but they still went out on penalties, I think. And Vickers, I think he played one game against Iran. He was really good, and America got the win. And then they didn't play him as much. I don't know why. I think Vickers is such a talented player. I was going to mention that, actually, the defence yesterday. Any balls that came their way were headed away or controlled and passed around quite easily. So I thought Starfelt and Vickers were both great. But no, I mean, the World Cup, I thought at first there was quite a lot of 0-0s, but it certainly picked up. And I think Coy Us would hope the Argentina won it, so best of luck to them. But you can only increase the values of Vickers and Meda, maybe not so much Moy because he's aging, and of course Juranovic. I think we'll more than make our money on him. So if he does go, Alistair Johnson's come in, somebody else who had a good campaign. Unfortunately, Canada just weren't quite as good as they needed to be. They should have beat Belgium the first game. Just to say, fuck off, Belgium. They were my bet, because I always bet Belgium, but what a shower of useless bastards. Anyway, but aye, in terms of total trust in the manager, somebody I don't have total trust is Darren, because the last time I spoke to the manager, I said to him that I'd heard that because he'd reached the last 16, we could get our game against Aberdeen postponed, and Big Ange just pissed himself laughing at me, so I thought I'd better bring that up, so... No, I've got total trust in him.
Well, I mean, you were almost right. Juranovic played on the day before the final, so anyway, Ralston's performance, I know some people maybe went a bit over the top in the criticism, but I thought he was really poor as well, and we could have really been dealing with JJ yesterday, but No, as you say, it's the manager was quite adamant that we get the game played, and we got it played. We've got the 3 points. That's it. Points in the bag. Andy, what have you made of the two new signings that have come in? It's obviously Kobayashi is centre half, I think maybe left sided, and Johnston predominantly right back, but did play as part of a back three for Canada. It's, as I've said today, too, it's really promising that we are as proactive. And I know people always start to worry, mainly us in our group chat, when Ange gets linked with some mediocre English Premier League team. But it's good to see that he's still obviously looking to build something with Celtic. And I think the proof's in the pudding with how early we're getting these signings in again.
Ah, definitely. Like you say, with his comments before about obviously getting used to you losing certain players so that we can build, then obviously that tells you he's got a vision for the future. There's always going to be links, especially with the fucking media that we've got, but you see him with the signings he's bringing in, the people he's looking at, the proactive in the transfer market for once. So it's just so refreshing to see that windows not even opening, we've got bodies in positions that we need, we require. Years gone by, I feel like we wouldn't have signed a centre-half. We would have just maybe made Jens permanent and kept the four as it is until we were sort of forced. But no, brilliant to see that we're out there trying to make things happen and be proactive in the transfer market. And I think that it's clear that Ange's got a vision and he's set out to try and achieve it and make us the best possible team that we can be and obviously try and make a dent in Europe and things. So I'm looking forward to seeing both the boys that have come in already, and I do think we'll maybe sign one or two more. But look, we need a left side centre half. I think that's going to be a big thing. And for his track record, the players that he's brought for Japan, I'm really looking forward to seeing him. And again, I thought Johnston's obviously somebody that right back, you would assume Juranovic is going to leave. I think he's been, to be fair, I think all the Celtic players, or four of them, that went to the World Cup have done really, really well. Definitely increased their value, with the exception of maybe Moyes, has been said. He's obviously at the tail end of his career now, but Juranovic has been a great servant in Tony. I hope that people don't start spitting the dummy out and all the rest of it, saying, oh, this and that. Like, it's, we know where we're at, we know what we're trying to achieve. Like, we've already signed his replacement. If Juranovic is to go and fetches us a good fee, then I'm happy with that. He gets my best wishes, and I hope he has success wherever he goes. But I'm looking forward. I love when new signings come in. I think everybody's like, you can't wait to see them get in the team and see what they're like when they've got a Celtic jersey on. But I think there's still another couple of signings and ins and outs to happen. Once the window's actually open, so I'm looking forward to it, and looking forward to seeing these players come in and challenge for places, which is the big thing. I mean, we've sort of four centre-halves really, and Kobayashi's got to come in and move one of them and get a chance and take it and sort of make sure he's in the team and stays in the team. So I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to seeing what happens and what shape the team's in come the end of January.
I definitely, it'll be interesting to see. I know we obviously had the early signings last year as well, but then we obviously added a guy like Matt O'Reilly late on in the transfer window in January as well, so it will be interesting to see what happens. Danny, we'll move on to Wednesday night. It's Celtic v Livingston at Celtic Park. It's sort of game that you 99 times out of 100 should be pretty straightforward. What are you expecting from it, and would you make any changes to the team that played yesterday?
I think Abada will come in for Maeda, and it'll probably be the team that started the second half will probably play for the off. But it'll be a tough game. Livingston are tough to play against. They went and got a draw at Ibrox earlier on in the season. We beat them 3-0 away from home, but Celtic were really, really good that day. But it's always a tough place to go with a horrible record there until last season. But a tough game, but do you know, it's good for us because I know Rangers are playing before us all the time, but they are chasing. Do you know what I mean? It's not as if the pressure, obviously the pressure's on us, but if it was the other way about, do you know what I mean? If they were 9 in front and they were going 12 in front, then we had to go to Aberdeen yesterday and win, and then they're playing on Tuesday night. If 6 points we win, we're back up to 9. So it doesn't really matter what they do as long as we keep winning. I think there's a good chance that we could be extending our lead on Wednesday night. Yeah, man, if Aberdeen were to reproduce what they did yesterday, they'd probably get an unused draw at that, without any shenanigans with VAR. But you never know. We could be extending my lead, but as long as we keep it at 9, you know, we win the league by 9 points, still win the league. So, just, I think at this moment in time, in this like period of games, we'll get 4 tough games before we go out to Ibrox, just win all 4. And then if we can avoid defeat there, you know, we're going to be nae worse off than 9 clear, if that's the case. So, just win, and they'll be up for it. I know they didn't play yesterday, so they might be a bit rusty. So you never know, But I think it'll be, should be a tough one, but I think the crowd will be up for it, because it'll be a good crowd at Parkhead. You've not seen Celtic in a while, I think a lot of folk. I know it's close to Christmas, and I know we're playing on Christmas Eve as well, but I do think folk will come out for it on Wednesday night, being the fact that they've not seen their team in a while. And hopefully the team put on a good performance for them. But I'm really looking forward to Wednesday night myself now.
I am with you. I think, as you say, it's been four or five weeks since we had that game against Ross County before the break, and it's just, I still think that due to the big break we had being away from football, I think everybody sort of doesn't take it for granted now, and especially with the connection that Celtic have with the support these days, it's been really good. And I think Wednesday will be, as you say, it'll be a great atmosphere, it'll be great to have the team back. I think Abada will come in. I'd be surprised if there's a few changes. Maybe the likes of Aaron Moy gets a start as well, because obviously with these games, we've got another 3 games in what, the next 8-9 days or whatever it'll be come Wednesday. But it's going to be a pretty hectic sort of period. So if you bring guys like Jackie Marcus and Abada, Moy, Tumble even, and you don't want to make too many changes, but the squad's been built to that area where we should be able to make 4 or 5 changes if the manager wants to, and it shouldn't really affect how we're going. And like, Livy, as you say, they're no the worst team. They'll make it difficult, but it's just a case of how we went yesterday and how we day most games. It's sort of just keep going until you get that, and if we get the early goal, then it could be whatever we want, because obviously Livy would then be forced to come out a bit. But at this period, it's like, I know yesterday was our 200th goal under Ange, and that's a great achievement, but if we get a 1-0 on Wednesday, I'm not going to be disappointed. I think it's just these next 3 games, just get maximum points and you'll be in a fantastic position. But I probably would make a few changes. Jack and Marcus, I wouldn't mind coming in, and as I said, Abada, and I don't think he'll make too many changes in the midfield. Maybe Tumble in for Rio Hatate or Matt O'Reilly, I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see, and I am looking forward to it. Tony, what are you thinking for Wednesday night?
Look, I fancy it, especially at home. I think what Danny says, the crowd will be well up for it. They'll have missed having Celtic. I'll go 4-0. I'll go for a Giacomacis hat-trick and Rio Itati to get the other goal. So I think we're long overdue to give Livingston a proper pasting. Nobody really ever gives them a do, and I guess that's credit to Rabbi Glinchy. So I think if we go at them and really put them under pressure, get an early goal, we can really take it to them, and hopefully we're extending our gap. But if it gets us back to 9 points, then you're happy. As Danny says, if you can get to Ibrox 9 points ahead, all the pressure in the world will be on Rangers to make sure the gap gets cut. They need to win, and that means they would need to commit the attackers, which would suit us. But a fair bit of football he played before then with Livy St Johnstone, and then the 4 times trip to Edinburgh. So, aye, looking forward to watching it. I've no bothered my arse flying air for the last 2 games because I'm fucked off travelling. I've been Irish for 3 months and I'm fed up with the travelling. So, fair play to everybody else that actually does it. But I'll come back for the Hibs game at Easter Road. Looking forward to it.
Aye, and I know what you see. It's sort of, you think Livy will do or something, and I think it's back to the COVID ball, 10th of April 2021, we beat them 6-0 at Celtic Park, and that was under the greatest manager we've ever had. It was John 10 Games Kennedy that took charge that day, so he'll be in the dugout, so hopefully he can sort of replicate that. Andy's had to drop off, but he's went for a 2-0 prediction. I'm going to go for 3-0 Celtic, and I think that Kyogo will get on the score sheet along with Cameron Carter-Vickers and Greg Taylor. Danny, what's your prediction just before we wrap up?
I think it'll be 6-0. I think we'll replicate that and we'll score 2 goals in the first 20 minutes. O'Reilly will score. He's due a goal. Hatate will score. Kyogo will get 3. And who's getting the last one? Abada will get the last. And it'll be rolling right on. Who are they playing in Christmas Eve? St Mirren at home?
St Johnston.
And it'll be all roads lead to St Johnston. On Christmas Eve, and just keep winning. That's all we can do. But I think we're up. I think we'll take some of the chances that we missed yesterday, and I think we'll score 6 in front of our rapturous Celtic support to go 11 points clear at the top of the league.
Well, that would be very nice. Hopefully, we will be back after that game. I know we've had a big break, so we've come back refreshed as well, and we'll try and get one out before the St Johnston game. And aye, keep an eye on the social media if you're wanting to hear the latest updates from Full Tims, and we will speak to you at some point after the Livingston game. Cheers for listening. Cheers.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.